Testing, testing.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? We're going to start up just a few minutes early. We're going to turn to page 29, try I Saw the Light. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Jesus came like a stranger in the night, and praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside, and praise the Lord, the light. How about her, Chad? Just like a blind man, I wandered along. And tears I've claimed for my own. Then like a blind man, God gave back his sight. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow. Ben on that piano.
sing the chorus again.
I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow inside. And praise the Lord. I saw the light. And praise the Lord. I saw the light.
Good job singing out there, you guys. We're going to turn to page 8, if I can get there.
Do you want a book?
Got too much going on up here. You know, I kind of chose this song out. I know everybody, we've kind of had a rough week this week in the United States. The things going on in our world just sometimes don't make sense. You know, but the biggest thing is you trust the Lord in everything you do. And I, again, with what happened this week, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to firmly plant in with Jesus, and that's where I'm going to stay. But we're going to turn to page 8, and we're going to do Because He Lives, because Because He Lives is how we get through all of our problems. Key of F. Key of F.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
Just trust Him.
Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just.
job. I know the Lord's up there smiling right now listening to that. Way to praise the Lord. I'm going to let Holly do a song.
Larry, you coming up?
Yeah.
All right, let's turn to page 67. Let's do Victory in Jesus. Key of D, boys.
About the angels see.
There, y'all. All right, Larry.
You know, Larry, I've been trying to coach Chad along on that guitar playing a little bit, trying to get him there. I don't know if I'm ever going to get him there or not.
I don't know either, I tell you.
I'm doing the best I can.
Keep trying, though. Keep trying.
Oh, hear that? Holly's the coach. That's what it's all about.
That's right.
Hey, before I start in here. Some of you have asked me who made that beautiful quilt hanging right over there on that wall. I want to introduce you to some new folks to our church, my wife and I's neighbors, Bob and Terry Utter. Would you please stand, please, wherever you're at? Bob and Terry Utter. Don't be bashful. There's Bob. I couldn't see him standing. He's short, see? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that, Terry. And make them feel welcome by stopping by and welcome to the Cowboy Church, too, would you? And quickly, I want to thank some other folks who donated mounts and stuff and things in our God's Great Outdoors entry hall out here. And Stan, if you're here, please. Daryl Hutton, you here? Yeah, they're out of town. Let's see, who else we have? Mike Wallace? Mike here? All right. Larry Lakey. I think most of those guys are busy with the Gus ministry right now. Mike Woodcock, who's also with the Gus ministry. There's Larry, yeah, right back here, yeah. I don't see the rest of them here, Mike Woodcock. And forgive me if I forgot anybody else. If you did, though, please stand. Just hold your hand up so they know where you're at. Thank him, too, will you? All right. So, good morning to all of you here and watching online. Welcome home to Sauk River Cowboy Church. Big hand for the band, will you? Even this one. And especially that one. All right. Any first-time visitors to Cowboy Church today? First-time visitors. Not been here before. Right over here. Don't be bashful. We won't attack. There's one there, one right here. Yeah? That's a whole family right there. Look at that. They take up two rows. They're wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful deal. Okay, for those of you who don't know, everything we've got going on is in our newsletter on our tables, or read the newsletter online at SaukRiverCowboyChurch.com. We are needing volunteers for Children's Church, and that information is in that newsletter if you'd like to help with that. They'll be taking pictures for our new church directory this Thursday night here at the barn from 2 to 4. 2 to 4 this Thursday night, then Saturday, it's coming Saturday, 9 to 2, and noon to 2 next Sunday. Other dates, times, and locations are in that newsletter, too. No appointments needed. If you want copies of those pictures, give them your email address, and they will send them to you that way. Circle of Sisters Prayer and Bible Study is every Monday, 6 p.m. at our event center. All ladies are invited to that. Band of Brothers Men's Prayer and Bible Study Group is the first and third Sunday every month at 1 p.m., I think it's their new time, also at our event center. So it's next Sunday then for that. For those of you who hadn't heard this, most of you have, but hey, those that haven't, we baptized 51 people last Sunday. That's a praise. All right, birthdays. Anybody got a birthday this week? Right there. Back here. Over here. Right here. We won't embarrass you, bud. Any other? In the back, too? Yeah, right back here. And behind us, too? You got a birthday? 29, right?
Yes.
Okay. Anniversaries. Anybody got an anniversary? Yep. Look at these two young'uns right over here. You got an anniversary. All right. Okay, who's got it? Do it.
Sorry, y'all. Dawson's not here today. There we go. Just mute him off would be the best way to do it. Mute that mic. Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy birthday and anniversary. Happy birthday and anniversary to you. And many more.
Not as good as Dawson, but we'll take it. Yeah. That's Yep, it is what it is. Folks, the death of Charlie Kirk by an assassin's bullet has been all over the news and social media this week. I don't know if anybody hadn't heard about it. Some of you might not have known who Charlie Kirk was before this, though. Oh my. He was a man who worked tirelessly trying to fix our broken and divided America. Charlie knew the Bible inside and out. He was bold in telling others about Jesus. He brought thousands of young people, thousands and adults, both here and around the world, to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. His work will continue. Many have said that by doing this, it has awakened a sleeping giant. Boy, I hope so. And witness to that is this crowd here this morning. We had, believe this or not, we had almost 500 and some, had over 500 and some people at the Livestock Center this morning.
Wow.
I think we're going to see that at churches everywhere. His work will continue. It will. His wife's going to take that up, I think, and others will help her. I hope that America will become one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I hope this awakens something in you, too. It has me. I have decided I am not going to come to church just to do my weekly duty. Not going to do it. I'm not just going to read my Bible once in a while. I'm going to read and study it as much as I can. I'm not just going to pray once in a while, but many times throughout the day. I'm going to work at being bold and telling others about Jesus through words and actions. I can't do that, some of you are saying to yourself right now. I can't do that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I encourage each of you to be bold in telling others about Jesus. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Bow with me in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all these people here today. May what has happened make a change for the better in this world and all of us. Father, I pray for your protection around Israel. I pray for our divided America. I pray, Father, that we will, all of us, strive to be bold in telling others. Don't sit back. Tell them about your son, Jesus, through our words and through our actions. And, Father, I pray for Charlie Kirk's wife, kids, and friends as they continue through life without him. But they have the faith of knowing that he's with Jesus right now. Give them strength to continue the work that he started. I lift up the family of the young man that did this too, Father, because they're hurting too. They're hurting too. Be with this church, Father, and help all of us to be bold in telling others about Jesus, whether it's through song, visiting with somebody, whatever, anything we can do. Let's be bold about Jesus. I lift up those battling mental and physical illnesses or other things in their lives. May we all, Father, take it one day at a time and put it in your hands. And I ask all this in your precious, Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
God bless America, this church, and all of you.
Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Now I haven't run this by everybody, but let's sing one song of I Have Decided. Because you said you decided.
Yeah.
You say that, and I thought, let's put that into words.
That's a good song. Good job, David. All right, let's turn to page 24. We're going to do one more before we're going to have two specials today. So we'll We'll do He Touched Me, and then we'll have our specials. Key of D.
Yeah, we're going to get Shirley up here. We're going to have her do it. We're going to get Ty and Julie up here right after that. We've had a special request from them. So Shirley, just have right at it.
All right. We're done, guys.
It's so wonderful to have the peace of the Lord in your heart and know that when your time comes to go meet him, he's welcome you with open arms. Here we are so often filled with heartache. So many times we weep when loved ones pass. But there's a place the gloom of death can't enter. And someday it will be my home at last. When he calls me to that land of no tomorrow, where grief and tears are gone without a trace, I'll lay down all my troubled cares and sorrow, and I'll carry them no more when he carries me away. I have cried a river in the darkness. I have known the loss of precious dreams, but soon there will be perfect joy and gladness. All suffering will be gone from memory when he calls me to that land of no tomorrow, where grief and tears are gone without a trace. I'll lay down all my troubled cares and sorrow, and I'll carry them no more when he carries me away. No more curse of sin, no more doubts within.
That was beautiful, Shirley. Beautiful. This church has so much talent in it. It just blows me away from time to time, all this talent in here. We're going to bring up Ty and his wife, Julie. Those of you that don't know him, this is our associate pastor and his wife, another very talented bunch. You should be muted. And we're going to let them do one right quick.
Oh, I got the mic.
Jeff's too tall. Now we have to follow that. This song, it was requested, we had a request last week that we'd do this one. Some of y'all probably heard this one about 4 or 5 times. But this is a special song to us because Julie and I, this was our very first song we ever sang together on a stage anywhere. And it was also the song that we started playing with our band, and we'll just do this every once in a while. And song that after Julie had started her chemo treatments, and the first song we played when we came back and started playing music again. And so the meaning of it is, it's hard for us to get through it. So if y'all know the words, y'all just sing it with us. Help us out. Sing it with us.
At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, and it was there by faith I received my sight.
let's just go home. We've already had church. Two killer specials in a row. Wow. Thank you all for being here today. Tremendous crowd, Sauk River Cowboy Church. I didn't hear the numbers, but didn't Larry say you had over 500 in the first two services? And there's about that in this one, so or more. So it's a good day. What'd you say, sir? 600 in the first two, 348 here. That's a lot of people. A lot of people. I'm going to be preaching this morning out of the book of Acts. I'm in chapter 2 this morning, where that most famous chapter is probably in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and fell on the church. This will not be a traditional, normal. I mean, I see your expectations already. You think you know where I'm going, but you don't. So just hold on. Let me just read you verse 12, Acts chapter 2, verse 12, because that will bookend this sermon. It'll show you the outsides of it that we're going to talk about. So just together, let's look at verse 12. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed him, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Now, that's what we're going to look at this morning. We live in an age of the deep fake. This is the deep fake age. They can, on video, they can put your face on anybody and make your mouth say anything that needs or want, that they want you to say, and it looks real. So if you ever find me or Ty on that saying stupid way off stuff, you know it's a deep fake. We didn't do that. Not long ago, speaking of the deep fake, someone came to me. Well, actually, they text me or call me at home, whatever. They said, do you need money? I said, well, no, not really. I'm pretty rich, you know. I don't need money. But they had somehow, over the Facebook or somehow, somebody had tried to scam them and said that the pastor needed money for something. Now, guys, if I want money from you, I'm not going to send it on Facebook. I'm going to be standing at your door looking you right in the face. So ignore what you see on what's said on Facebook, because I don't write on it anyway, maybe to my kids or something. But anyway, Mark Twain said, if you read it in the newspapers, if you don't read the newspapers, you're uninformed. And if you do read the newspapers, you're misinformed. So I think we need to look at the internet and Facebook and Twitters and all those other things that I can't remember their names now, but let's look at that for what it really is. Don't believe everything you read, because Jesus told us in Matthew 24 and other places that we're going to be moving into an age of deception. You're going to be deceived and lied to in this world as it increases. It seems like some situations and people rather tell us a lie than tell us the truth anyway. So we're moving into a difficult time. Today we look into the subject of how we can be sure who's speaking to us. How can we tell if it's Jesus or if it's the devil or if it's ourselves? You see, consciousness level that we all live on and we exist on, our thoughts. I'm trying out a new mic here. It sounds like it's cutting out. But our thoughts jump up out of our subconscious and land on our conscious level, and then we pick those up and speak those thoughts. But who jumps that stuff up there? And I think there are a lot of different situations that those thoughts can come from. So just who's talking to us? What is it that's being said to us? And saying it? Well, today we're going to look into the subject. Here in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on those people gathered there, and they began to speak in tongues. They fell on them, and they spoke in tongues. Do I need to get a different microphone? Yeah. Okay, let's just get me another mic here.
There you go, just grab that.
Okay. I need somebody strong to pull that out. All right, and I'll turn this one off. Sorry about that. Okay, so here in Acts chapter 2, we have these people gathered, 120 or so, or maybe more, gathered together, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues. And then they had a whole bunch of other people come running up there to the situation because of the noise, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. They heard the noise of the wind, and they came running and to see what was going on, and they looked in and saw all these people speaking in languages that was being understood by multiples of people. Everybody there was hearing the gospel in their own language. And so some of the people said, "What is going on here? God is speaking. God is talking." And then some said, "Nope, they're just drunk. They're just drunk." So here's the issue today that I'm dealing with. Are you hearing from God, or are you just not paying attention? Are you hearing from God, or are you just drunk? I don't mean literally, but are you drunk on the world's focus? What are you hearing? So we're going to try to sort that out just a little bit today. To understand Acts chapter 2, you need to understand Genesis chapter 11, which is the Tower of Babel story. But let me quickly walk through that just in case you had forgotten what goes on there. In Genesis chapter 11, we have all the people who were generationally, this is a couple of generations, maybe more generations, after the flood and the ark. Okay, now we've got the people who got off the ark. How many got off the ark? Eight. Eight people got off the ark. And now we got enough people on the earth for there to be cities. So generations have passed, and the people have expanded the population. Now, what God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was, go over the earth and populate the earth. Dominate it, populate it, just put people everywhere. And so the same injunction was given to the people when they got off the boat, off of Noah's Ark. God told them, okay, now your job is to pick up after what Adam and Eve started, and now your job is to carry it on. Repopulate planet Earth, because there's been a huge die-off here after this. And so now generations are passing, and by this time there's a lot of people on the earth, and there's this guy comes up, and his name is Nimrod. Don't name your children Nimrod. I mean, that's... Anyway, here came Nimrod. And the people knew what they were supposed to do. Nimrod knew what he was supposed to do. But you know what they said? They said, no, we're not going to do it, God. Nimrod was the first worldwide ruler. He ruled all the people on the earth. And he said, no, we're not going to scatter out over the planet. We're going to stay here in Shinar, S-H-I-N-A-R. We're going to stay here on the plains of Shinar, and we're going to build a tower. And this tower will keep the people together. They'll have something to look to. It'll keep us together, and it'll be the talk of the whole world. Everybody will know about us. Our name will be remembered. In other words, we're going to stay right here together and make a name for ourselves instead of doing what God said. Now, fast forward just a little bit, because this disobedience and arrogance caused a confusion of languages to come on the planet. Because what God did, he came and visited the Tower of Babel. God knew it all the way. He didn't just have to come, but he came, where we learn in Genesis, that God came and he confounded the languages. He sent some folks off speaking this, Spanish, and some Chinese, and some Russian. And so when the people there who had all spoken the same language, see, they all were descendants of Noah. And so when they all got off the boat, they all spoke the same language. There weren't diverse languages. And so now we get to this point, and the rebellion that man has brought to the earth starts to get bad. And so God says, I'm going to confound their languages so that they will do what I told them to do. One kind of side note, the Holy Spirit just kind of tapped me on the shoulder
to remind me, because God said if we don't do this, nothing they set out to do, in other words, they can do anything they want to do. There'd be no scientific, no medical, no nothing can stop them. And what I'm looking in at the future that's coming, I'm beginning to wonder. It might be time for another confusion of our languages. There's so much crazy stuff going on. And well, anyway, back to the sermon. So here we are, the Tower of Babel. So Paul, Luke, who's writing us the story of Acts chapter 2, Luke is writing it, and he says that God came down and he undid what was done at Babel, and where they spoke in languages. They spoke in all the diverse languages of the planet, and we're going to read the names of the places here, but they all heard the message of Christ in their own native languages. In other words, the gospel got out. They preached it, and it was heard, even though it was confounded earlier. By now, this is thousands of years later, by now it gets out with clarity. Now, folks, here in our area, Midwest, Southwest Missouri, Midwest of the United States, we've got a lot of diversity. I mean, not as much as the coastal cities and other areas, but we all come from some different backgrounds, and we can work together with different personalities, different backgrounds, because the Spirit of God will bring us all together and think one mind. It will give us one thought and one mind. Now, I know that I'm speaking to a group of people and to many who are watching on the internet, but also I know that some of you are of divided minds. You're not sure yourself what you want, where you're going, who you're listening to. So I'm asking you to pray today, as I've already been praying for you, that you will hear God today. While I speak to you, I'm praying that you hear God as he brings the language back together for you, and you hear from the Holy Spirit, the gospel preached in your native tongue. In your language. You say, well, I thought we all spoke hillbilly. Well, no, we don't. I mean, we don't all speak hillbilly, and then we're not all from the same creek area or hillbilly. So now let's move on. Why doesn't everybody hear God speaking? Well, I asked myself that question, and then I listened to the Holy Spirit, read my Bible, and I found some texts that I'm going to share with you. In Psalm 66:18, it says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So there's something about sin in our life that keeps us from hearing the voice of God. And the more sin you allow in your life, the less you're going to hear from God. Now, that's not to mean that God can't bust through and speak to you. He can. But the more disobedience and rebellion we allow into our life, the harder it is to hear the voice of God. Sin, pride, or busyness even can cloud our mind. And mind what a busy world we live in. But we need to hear his voice. Sometimes it's going to seem faint. Sometimes it's going to be confusing. But we need to listen so we can hear the voice of God. Now, there's another thing that can keep you from hearing God. And that is your human expectation. See, some people want God to say what they already agree with. We want God to say what we already agree with. Because if God says something and that wasn't what we were thinking, we think, well, where'd that come from? Maybe God is wanting to confront you with an issue and say something to you you need to hear. And see, his word, when it gets into our life, it may cut across our desires. It may cut across our dreams. And we don't want to hear him. Now, let's move on. Now, we're going to need the voice of God or the Holy Spirit to help us understand and hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit is God, but we need his help to cut through the clutter and the static of life. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that the Spirit would guide you into all truth. Please listen. John chapter 16. And the Spirit will guide you into all truth. So if you're conflicted and confused when you're listening to God, ask the Holy Spirit to clarify and help you, because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Let's talk about the issue of faith and unbelief. Hebrews 4:2 says that Israel heard God's promises, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, when God speaks with you, you have to believe it's Him. And let me caution you just a little bit. When God speaks into your life, He's going to expect you to hear it and do something about it. Oh, it got quiet in here. See, when God, there is a God, a divine expectation that when He speaks into your life, He wants to change. He wants something to change in your life for your good, not for His, but for your good. So He's going to speak into your life, and there's an expectation. When God speaks into your life, it requires faith to hear it, to believe it, that's Him. And then it requires faith to step out on that expectation and make the changes necessary in your life that God wants. So you're confronted when God speaks. Now let's move quickly, because this sermon is long and you're going to want to eat lunch after all. God speaks into every life. Please hear that. God speaks into every life. Some people recognize His voice and some people don't. Now why is that? Some people thought that the Holy Spirit had come, and He heard them speak in their own languages. And some said, no, they're just drunk. What was the difference? Why were some hearing this one way and some another? What causes some? Okay, let's go to verse 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Now, all the believers, here's what I want to call it in my outline. If you want to hear from God, you need to be in the right headspace. You know what I'm talking about when I say in the right headspace? You got to have your head together. You got to understand that you need to be thinking like God wants you to think, with the people God wants you to. You got to be in the right headspace. Sometimes, as I said, sin, other things can get in your way, and you won't hear God's voice. You'll question it. Spiritual readiness is kind of a concept. And Jesus often said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what that means is if you don't have ears to hear, you're not going to hear. But if you want to, if you have ears, if you're ready to hear, you can pick up on that. It's spiritual readiness. The issue isn't whether God is speaking. It is whether we're tuned in and listening. That's the difference. Right now in this room, there are probably multiple radio signals in the air. We can't see them, but they're floating through here. Radio stations, CBs, showed you how old I am. All kinds of technology is sending signals through the room. But you have, let's go back to the radio thing. But you've got to have your radio set on the right channel, all right? Now, when I grew up, when I was young, you had a big knob and you could turn and get, all the frequencies. You could even get between frequencies where there wasn't anything, and you just call that static, okay? So some people, here we got to turn our receivers to the right channel. And sometimes we just aren't ready to do that. Sometimes we don't get it right. So the next issue we're going to look at today then, or before we look at the next issue, let me ask you then, so where's your head? Where is your head this morning? You say, hey, dummy, it's on top of my shoulders, holding my hat up. No, that's not what I mean. You know what I mean. I'm speaking in the cultural parlance of what are you thinking? Where are you going? Now let's look at the next thing. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. In my outline today, I'm answering the question, why do some hear and some don't? And I'm going to say it like this. Some people miss the elephant in the room. All right, you know what that means? The big thing in the room, the forest, we can't see the forest for the trees sort of thing. Some people, it's so obvious, but they're missing it. And so here was the story that these people were in the room and they heard the sound of a hurricane or a tornado. Now, don't miss this. They only heard it. There was no wind. Just sound. It just sounded like that. It was just a screaming, screeching noise that was so loud that people all around, for maybe, who knows, I want to say it, miles around, heard it because they came running to this place to see what caused the noise. All right. But there was no overt trees blown all over. It was just the sound. And in this sound, flames of fire, like little candlelight wicks, candlelight came and landed on each one. I mean, everybody in the room lit up. In other words, they were glowing. Light came on them. And so they came in and saw those experiences. Does God use events in our life to speak to us? Oh, boy, doesn't he? He will. He sure did in chapter 2. He got loud. And the noise and light were supernatural. And God speaks in a still small voice at times. At other times, he speaks very loudly. Sometimes quietly. Sometimes loudly. How many of you ever heard the voice of God real loud? I mean, you know, things happened. I've heard stories this morning about piling up multiple events of negative things that happened. And maybe God's trying to get your attention through the big things in your life. The doctor comes in and says the cancer word or the heart attack word, or he does something that's the big thing. It overwhelms everything else. It's the elephant in the room, and we can't see around him to hear the voice of God. That happens sometimes. In the Old Testament, we have a story of Joab and his David's son, Absalom. Absalom was estranged from his father. They did not get together. They didn't talk. Absalom had tried to rebel and overthrow the kingdom, and so there was a great rift between the two. They both lived in the same city of Jerusalem, but Absalom was never could come to David. He couldn't go into David's presence. And Absalom wanted bad to talk to his daddy as years went by. He wanted to go see dad. I want to go see him. He's my dad. I know it's been bad between us, but I want to go see him. And so he would send messages to Joab. Joab was David's general or David's doorkeeper, gatekeeper. So he kept people out, and if you want to see David, you had to go through Joab. So he'd send a message to Joab, I want to go see my daddy. Joab would say, no, nope, no way. You're not going to go see him. You tried to overthrow him and have a coup and take the country for yourself. You're not going to go see him. And so what happened over the years, Absalom would send messages again and again and again. Same answer, no, no, no. You know what Absalom did? He set Joab's barley field on fire. Now, here's how to apply this. God may want your attention, and you may not be giving it to him. You may be ignoring the elephant in the room or the whatever. And if you're not careful, God may want your attention so bad, he'll turn up the volume. And, I mean, that's happened. It's in my family. I remember stories about my people talking about God wanted him to do something, and he turned up the volume, and they heard it before they stepped out. God may turn the volume up. He may set your barley field on fire. That's what I'm trying to say, to get your attention. And so when these things happen, you start looking for the Lord because you're going to need the right motivation. Look at verse 5. At that time, they were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. What kind of Jews were there? Devout. They loved the Lord, the Yahweh, the God. They loved him. And they were there from all over. Verse 6, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. And when they were bewildered to hear in their own languages that was being spoken by the believers. So when you come to Christ, you need the right motivation. You need the right push. Now, let me just tell you about my growing up. I grew up in a country in the country. Obviously, you could tell that by my language, of course, but that was a joke. But I'm a hillbilly, and I'm proud of it, so you won't make me mad calling me a hillbilly. But when I grew up in the country church, we had a word we used. It's called conviction. And they would say, well, he's under conviction. Now, what that means is the Holy Spirit was working on a person, trying to draw them to the cross, trying to get them to be saved, born again. And the conviction, and then I remember when I was under conviction. And, I mean, man, I went to, they messed up. They started having prayer meetings in their homes in the early church, the church that I attended. And then I'd go to those prayer meetings, but, oh, I hated it because I was feeling bad. I mean, the convicting power of God was just beating me up. And I had made up my mind. The reason they had the cottage, they called them cottage prayer meetings. The reason that they had them was so that the convicting power of God would fall. And boy, it fell. I had made up my mind the first night of that revival. When that revival starts, if it can ever get here, I'm going to go in the altar immediately and get saved. But I want to tell you something. I think I got saved before I ever got out of my chair, because I had decided to give up and follow the Lord. But I was under conviction, and I had the right motivation. Now, today, let me see. They heard a loud noise, and everybody came running. They were attracted. But look, God's not trying to put on a dog and pony show to get you to the cross. He's not going to do those sorts of things to attract you by events, special this, special that. He's got a very, very limited thing he's going to do. Special events are fun, but they don't build people of faith. Jesus told a parable I want to tell quickly here about the rich young man and the rich man and the poor man in Luke chapter 16, I think it is. There was a man there. He was rich. He lived in a beautiful house, fancy home, and right outside his door, there was a poor man, and he was so poor, he had no medical care, and he gets sores on his body, and the dogs would lick his sores. That was the only medication he had, and they both died. Hello? Did you know you're going to die one of these days? Everybody in this room is going to die. The death rate in Missouri is 100%. I mean, you're all going to die. So they both died, and the Bible, Luke, tells us that in eternity, the rich man, he lifted up his eyes, and he was in torment. Now, what does that mean? Well, he's probably in hell. He was separated from Jesus. Not because he was rich. That had nothing to do with it. He was separated from Jesus because he had not believed in the Messiah, into Christ. And the poor man, we find him in Abraham's bosom. That's Old Testament language for heaven. He was there in the presence of God. He was in heaven where he wanted to be. Now, the rich man in hell, he called out. He said, Father Abraham. In other words, that's his prayer. He prayed to Jehovah God. He said, God, send Lazarus back to earth. Bring him out of the grave. Send him back to earth and let him talk to my brothers, because I don't want my brothers down here with me. Go back and warn them, don't come to this place. You know what God said? You need to hear this very carefully. God said, no. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let me interpret that for you. If you're looking for a dog and pony show to bring you to Christ, or if you're looking for some thing, some event, some catastrophic or extraordinary event to get your attention to bring you to Jesus, you ain't gonna get one. You got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Okay, let me interpret that. Who's Moses? The lawgiver. In other words, you got the Bible. You got the Word of God. Let them read the Bible. And you've got the prophets. Who's the prophets? Well, the singers, the preachers, those people that carry the gospel and tell the story, you, when you're witnessing to people, that's who what he means by the prophets. They've got, so if you're looking for some extraordinary event for lightning strike you from heaven and get your attention and drag you to the cross, you're not going to get it. Now, God's God, he can do anything he wants. But in this situation, he said, let them hear Moses and the prophets. I'm telling you today, if God speaks in your life and you feel the convicting pull of God for you to come to Christ or to stop your sin, to change your life, to rededicate your life, whatever God's calling you to do, that's it. You're not going to get a louder signal if you're hearing him call. What am I trying to tell you? You need to do it now. Because the day will come when you won't be here. You're going to be somewhere in eternity. And when you get there, it's fixed and locked in. What's the right motivation? A broken heart. A heart that's heard God, that's said, yes, I am a sinner. And I need to come to Jesus. You need the right kind of heart. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. And then, verse 12, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They ask each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed. Oh, they're just drunk. So I guess I got to ask you this morning, are you hearing God? Or is this preacher just nuts? Am I on something, and why am I doing this? And am I just telling you this because they pay me? Or I get a kick out of it? No, let me tell you something. I'm here telling you this because God called me to do this. And he told me to come and tell you today. Come to me. If you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Come to me today. Accept it or not. You get to choose. It's your call. All this church stuff, you can walk out of here and shake your head, it's just monkey business. Or you can hear the voice of God. And either way, either choice will affect your forever. Come to Christ today. Drunk or filled with the Spirit, you choose. Lord, today I thank you that the message in Acts chapter 2 is so clear. Forgive us for not hearing your voice by letting so many other things drown out your voice. Forgive us, Lord. We're sorry. We're sinners. Get our attention. Do whatever it takes so that we can hear your call, because we want to come to you and understand what conviction means and give in to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Change our lives. Be different. That's all we want. That's what we want more than anything else. So bless us, Lord. Help us to step out and do that. In Christ we pray. Amen.
All right, let's sing softly and tenderly. Sing along with us.
D.
Key of D.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home.
Close us in prayer. Or David. David, would you please close us in prayer? Thank you.
Father, thank you for continuing to call to us, giving us the invitation to come home. Sometimes it must seem that we're taking a lifetime to make that decision, and in some cases that's true. And sometimes it's true that your children never make the decision to come home. But we just pray that you'll continue to keep that door open and help us to always have a soft spot in our hearts capable of accepting your grace and coming home. Thank you for the gifts that you give us. Thank you for all the things that you do for us. Thank you for our congregation and this nice new facility to house them. And we just pray that you be with us in all of our conflicts, in all the things that we are going through, which are sometimes very difficult. We ask these things in your name. Amen.